we're continuing the Orcha Sadikim's Shar HaKa'as, now that we got another plug for the Orcha Sadikim. All the Torah giants that we're speaking to this summer seem to be big fans of the Orcha Sadikim. For those who weren't there when Yonatan was asking Rabbi Finkelman today what Sefer affected him most when he was your age, he said Orcha Sadikim. So we're continuing in the Shar HaKas, and we were discussing yesterday, first by way of introduction, how terrible Kas is, and how it's emotionally unhealthy, it's a way of torturing oneself when one gets angry, it's physically harmful, it's spiritually harmful on many levels. And then we discussed how when a person gets angry, he goes out of his mind, he acts like a totally insane person, to the point that he wouldn't even recognize himself in his state of anger. And now we move on to the third paragraph. Va'amracha, at least the way I have it broken down, I don't know if everyone has it broken down in the same paragraphs, but va'amrachacham, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim, Shlosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Ohavam, that there are three specific people, three categories of people that Hashem loves. Ve'echad mehem mi she'eino koveis. And one of them is someone who doesn't get angry. Now, obviously, Hashem loves all of us. Hashem loves not just three kinds of people, but it means that there's an extra sense of ahava. And an extra sense of ahava is Hashem. Not ahava Hashem in the sense that the person loves Hashem, but that it comes in the other direction. An extra sense of ahava from Hashem is someone who does not get angry. And one could imagine that the logic over here is that a person who is koeis is that I think the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us that that when a person is koeis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Ein ani v'hu, there's not enough room for me and him in the world at the same time. He's like being dochek ragle shechina, just like a balgaiva. Chazal say about a balgaiva as well, and we pointed out yesterday the relationship between kas and gaiva is a very, very close relationship. So if a person is willing to regularly get angry and therefore regularly push away the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ignore Hashem's presence or worse because of his anger, so that obviously Hashem is not going to take too kindly to. And on the flip side, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always welcome, because the person is never koeis, he's never expressing gaiva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always welcome in his life, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show him a great deal of love. But the emphasis of this paragraph is not so much about Hashem's love for the person, but really the next line. Va'amru Rabbeinu, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, Lo hakaptan malamed, that if a person is very exacting, very demanding, he's not going to be a good teacher. Ki meirov ka'aso, hatalmidim yireyim mimenu, lishol sveiko sehem. The way the Orcha Sadikim is understanding kaptan in this case is not someone who sets high standards for his talmidim. That's okay. You're allowed to set high standards for talmidim. In fact, very often, when you set the bar low, and I can tell you this is definitely true in high school chinuch, very often you set the bar low, and kids will figure out a way to crawl underneath it. No matter how low you set it, they'll figure out a way to crawl underneath it. But when you set the bar a little bit higher, you make people stretch themselves a little bit, go a little bit beyond their comfort zone, very often that's exciting, it's invigorating to have an opportunity to grow, to feel like you're growing, to feel like you're becoming something more. So as far as kaptan, he doesn't understand it as being demanding in terms of level of learning and in terms of hasmada. Absolutely, we should be demanding, and we should demand a lot of ourselves, and Rebbeim should be demanding of their Talmidim, of course, in a loving way, but we should be demanding. I remember I overheard a conversation in Lander last year between Rav Sachs and one of his Talmidim. So Rav Sachs said to the boy, "Did you look over the piece from Rav Gustman that I told you to look over?" And the boy said, I got through some, a good portion of it. So I don't know if you've ever seen Rav Gustman's pieces in Kuntrasei Shiurim. These long, long ma'arachas. It's not easy at all to get through a piece in the Kuntrasei Shiurim. So sort of Sack said, "What do you mean some of it?" He said, "Well, it was a really long piece." Sort of Sack said, "What time did you go to sleep?" Well, the guy said, "I don't know, 12:30. He said, Sack said, in all earnestness, I went to sleep at 2 and I woke up at 5 and I I'm here. I was on time for chakras." Like he couldn't understand, how could you go to sleep if you didn't finish it? Like, you have to finish what you got to get done today and then go to sleep. Okay, that's a pretty high demand to make of every bachur, especially he's got college, he's got other things. It's pretty high demand. But sometimes when you make certain demands, you get a lot out of people when you make certain demands. So he's assuming Kapton, you know, it's known that all the Litvisha Rashi Yeshiva of the previous generation were incredible Kapdonim in that sense. They had very high demands of their Talmidim. If you showed up to our Salvechik Shir and you hadn't prepared properly, if he said that you're supposed to prepare a Balamar and he called on you to read and you hadn't, and it's clear that you haven't mastered that Balamar, he would, at least before his year of Triple Avelus, when he was a little rougher, he would lambast you publicly. That was the style, to be a captain, in the sense that you have a lot to learn. But the Archa Sadikim's understanding, it shouldn't be mitoch ka'as. There should never be a sense of ka'as from the Rebbe to the Talmidim. Because if there is a sense of ka'as, a Talmud is going to be afraid to ask a question. If the Rebbe says, that's a stupid question, he gets angry at him, how could you ask that? Did we just learned that yesterday in Shir, weren't you paying attention? So the kid's never going to ask anything. If he doesn't ask anything, then he's never going to grow, he's never going to learn. And if a person has a short temper, he's usually impatient. And if a Talmud asks a question, he's not going to explain it as it needs to be explained in order for the Talmud to understand it. He'll stop short of explaining it properly. And he'll respond in a gruff manner. He'll respond in a way that will be off-putting to the Talmud. And when a person feels threatened, then his mind isn't really open. Meaning our mind is open when we feel at peace. Our mind is more, you know, like I was just walking here from my whatever you call it, cabin, bunk, I don't know, I'm never sure what to call it, the place I sleep at night. So I was walking here and just like looking around, such a beautiful day. I'm thinking like, I think my capacity to think is greater here than it is elsewhere. There's just like a sense of serenity, a sense of harchavas hadas. And I think that it's really true. I think that when a person has that sense of serenity, that sense of calm, that sense of harchavas hadas, it opens us up intellectually also. We're able to understand more, we're able to do more, we're able to accomplish more. So if a person feels very closed and tight and he feels that the Rebbe is just going to bash him over the head and he's petrified, that's not a learning environment. I remember before I started teaching, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea how to teach. So I went to observe different rebbeim. I wanted to see how different people ran their classrooms. And I remember going to one classroom where it was a high-intensity class, like super high-intensity classroom, and the kids were all learning, like full speed ahead learning, but like with a real high-intensity. The Rebbe left the room, and another Rebbe came in to relieve him, you know, because the Rebbe had other things. As soon as the Rebbe left the room, like you almost heard it. You heard the Talmid go, oh my gosh, okay. It was great learning, but there was a tremendous like. They knew they couldn't keep that up for forever. You know, they couldn't keep that up for very long. I went to a different classroom, and also very high intensity, but not a healthy intensity. It was like a fear of the Rebbe. Like the Rebbe was gonna yell at them. He was gonna, I don't know, he was gonna embarrass them if they did something. Like this fear of the Rebbe, and everyone was in line. No one was calling out. No one was. Everyone was doing exactly what they would be expected to be doing. But I got the sense that first of all, people despised the Rebbe. They didn't like him at all. They had no sense of kavod for him. They, you know, in front of him, absolutely behind his back, they would talk terrible about him, and that it wasn't a learning environment because they didn't feel that the Rebbe loved them. They didn't feel that they didn't feel at all comfortable. And then I went to a third classroom, a third place. I'm not saying that they're all in the same yeshiva. I went to different places, but I'll tell you the third classroom who it was, because it was the most unbelievable experience I've ever seen. It was Rabbi Moshe Benevitz's classroom in DRS, when he used to teach in DRS. And it was unbelievable. I mean, he was all of 26 years old at the time. And it was just like this unbelievable experience. He had the Leibedik Chevra, you know, in his class. And there was just like this absolute comfort. And everyone, like, he was interacting with the Talmidim in a way where everyone felt comfortable in their own skin, free to say what was on their mind, but have enough respect for him that they wouldn't take the conversation where it shouldn't go. And it was just like this incredible learning environment. It was like there was real learning going on, but everyone was relaxed. There was like a certain comfort level there. And I was thinking, like, if my whole life, like, that's what I'm going to strive toward. I'm going to want, like, my classroom in DRS, I want it to be as close to that as possible. I spent 18 years chasing that dream, never quite achieving it, but at least I knew what it looked like. At least I knew what, you know, I had that picture. A Rebbe who's a balkas, who has a short fuse, who makes people uncomfortable, he's not going to connect with the Talmidim. Talmidim aren't even going to understand the learning in the end of the day. V'atalmidim, afilu sharabam koes aleim, yishalu v'yadaktiku, now the Yoruch Sigim says still, you can't choose your Rebbeim always, and sometimes you'll have a Rebbe where he's not exactly the personality that works out great for you, it's not the perfect Shidduch, and maybe he is a little bit of a Balkas, it doesn't mean you can't learn from him. Right? Ezu Chacham Halomed Mikaladam, you have to be able to learn from him, and very often he does have certain qualities, or certain knowledge, certain things that he can share with you, and you have to be able to find that. Meaning, it does not absolve us as Talmidim of the responsibility to make the most of our learning experience. Just because the Rebbe is not doing the job that we think he should be doing, or maybe that objectively he should be doing, but we still have a responsibility to learn. Right? What's going to happen if the Talmud doesn't like his Rebbe, and he spends the whole year complaining about how Shir is terrible, and he doesn't like it, and he's just upset the whole year. So what did he do? He wasted an entire year where he learned nothing. Who's he hurting if he wasted an entire year when he learned nothing? He's obviously hurting himself more than he's not hurting the Rebbe, the Rebbe's going to be fine. He's hurting himself. So we have a responsibility to ourselves to make sure that we're constantly growing. If a person withstands the kas of his Rebbe and he doesn't say anything about it, he takes it in stride and he gets over it and he moves on and he says, okay, what can I learn next from my Rebbe? Then he's going to be zocha to be a posek, to be mavchin bein din imamnus l'din nefashos. Why the examples of din imamnus and din nefashos? Those are the most challenging areas of halacha. He's going to be able to, because if a person can learn under less than ideal circumstances, then he'll be able to always grow. He'll be able to grow to the point where he's going to be a very sought after posek. Someone, one of the Rebbeim in DRS just sent on the Rebbe's chat, the DRS Rebbe's chat, which I'm still a member of. They haven't thrown me off yet. I think this was the Rebbe's chat that has Rabbi Kamenetsky and Rabbi Storch on it. They sent a video of Rabbi Wallerstein. You know Rabbi Wallerstein? Have you heard him speak? So Rabbi Wallerstein was talking about when he was a Rebbe, I guess he was like a 7th grade Rebbe. That's what it sounded like. And he said he used to buy cupcakes for the boys every once in a while. And he said he bought cupcakes that he happened to like very much also. So he'd always save one cupcake for himself and a cream filling. He very much liked it, you know. It was a snack not just for them, it was something for him. And what he would do is, like, when the boys went to recess, so he'd come back 5 minutes early from the recess and he would eat his cupcake. And he came back one day and his cupcake was gone. But not gone like it disappeared. The paper was on his desk, like it was clearly eaten. Someone came and ate his cupcake out of, you know, his one cupcake that he saved for himself after he gave the boys their cupcakes. A kid took doubles on the Rebbe's cheshbon. So he said that he found out who did it. I don't know if he asked and the kid fessed up or whatever, or he found out. I don't know if they're like now in schools they just go on the on the video, right? They go to the security desk and watch who did it. So he said he got so angry at the boy. He said, you know, he quoted the Rabbi Nachman's Talmud Torah that Rebbe has to love his Talmidim, and he said, I don't like you. I don't like you anymore. So I can't teach you. I'm not going to leave you back. You can go to the next grade or whatever, but you're not coming back to my class. I just can't teach you. I don't think you're a good person. And he really went after the kid, which, by the way, is not the way a Rebbe is supposed to. I mean, Rebbe Wallerstein's whole point was that it was a mistake that he did this. And the kid was wandering the hallways, and the principal said, like, what are you doing? He said, Rebbe Wallerstein said he doesn't like me. That again. So the principal said to Rebbe Wallerstein, what happened? He said, it sounds ridiculous. He said, he took my cupcake. It's the principle of the matter. It's not the cupcake. It's, you know, of course. And then, like, he came home that night, and he was, like, all angry, and his wife was like, what happened? He said, oh, don't ask. What happened? Said, the kid took my cupcake. And his wife said, let's try to think this through. What would you say if, let's say, another Rebbe in Yeshiva came over to you with the problem that a kid took their, let's say, donut? like, what would you tell the Rebbe? So he said, well, I would tell the Rebbe probably, get over it. Like, it's a stupid donut. It's not like it's a cupcake. I would probably tell him to, you know, that the boy wasn't doing this to you. He said his wife explained this to him. The boy wasn't doing this to you. He thought it was funny. He thought it was a funny joke. He wasn't, you know, he said, I might even tell the Rebbe, you don't know the boy's whole cheshbon. You don't know what's going on. Do you know how much food is in the pantry in his house? By the way, you think that everyone you went to school with, you know, is as affluent as the majority of people in the communities you grew up in. It's not true. It's we've had boys in yeshiva in the five towns who barely had food to eat at home. That they relied heavily on that free bagel they gave every morning at the IRS. You know, the world has a lot of different kinds of people, a lot of different situations, and a lot of different challenges. Maybe the boy was actually hungry. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he just wasn't thinking. Maybe he lacks impulse control and he just needs a little bit of help. Maybe he doesn't understand. Maybe he needs a little bit of hadrakha. Maybe. I don't know. There are a lot of things, a lot of possibilities. But the point is, he wasn't doing it to get you. It's not about you. When a person is a balkas, he views everything as an insult to him. And it's all about him. It's all about an insult to himself. And that's why he gets angry. That's why he reacts in such a way. But if a Talmud misbehaves, or someone, you know, behaves in a way that you find to be offensive, you just have to make sure that we have the right attitude. That it's not about us. It's about what's causing this person to behave in this way. Maybe there's something there. We don't know a person's entire circumstance. But a balkas can't see that. He can't think past himself. Because remember, kas equals gaiva. Gaiva equals avia vos atuma of all midos raos. It is the worst mida in the entire world. It ruins everything. It ruins a person. It destroys a person. So it's so critical that a person has to think outside of himself and think about, you know, what motivates such behavior. I remember someone once did something terrible to a family member of mine, something that I thought was really, really awful. This is many years ago, and I asked my Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky at the time, what should my attitude toward this person be? And he said, based on what you're describing, I feel bad for the person. That was not where I was going, you know. Like, I was not thinking about sympathy. You know, I was thinking about, like, I want to strangle the person. But he said, I feel bad for the person, that this is how they lift themselves up, by trying to put other people down. Like, they must be such a empty shell of a person inside, that, you know, it's a rachmanus. And like, it opened my eyes. That comment, I mean, among many comments in all the years that I've known Rabbi Kamenetsky, it opened my eyes. You know, it just taught me to see the world in a totally, totally different way. A balkas doesn't see the world in that way. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we're on for regular, so we'll, Baruch Hashem, will discuss how this relates to Shalom Bayis and other issues of Machlokas.